President Bush offered his assessment of the Democratic-led Congress at a recent appearance with reporters.
The end of 2007 is approaching fast, and the new Congress has little to show for it.
The American people appear frustrated with Congress, too. A recent New York Times CBS News poll finds that only 21% of Americans have a favorable view of Congress, with 64% disapproving. Congressional Democrats and Republicans acknowledge they haven't accomplished as much as they would have liked and are blaming each other. Republicans say Democrats refuse to compromise. Senator John Cornyn is a Texas Republican.
When one side or the other tries to jam their agenda down the throats of the other side, it doesn't work. And Exhibit A is the dismal record of this broken Congress during this last year.
But Democrats say Senate Republicans are to blame, calling them obstructionists. Under Senate rules, the minority can block legislation using procedural tactics. 60 votes are needed to overcome such tactics, known as filibusters, but Democrats only hold a 51-49 seat majority. Senator Chuck Schumer, a New York Democrat, says Republicans' use of the tactics has neared record levels and predicts they will pay politically in congressional elections less than a year from now.
They're filibustering themselves out of their seats come next November. The American people dramatically want change. Every time they stop the wheels of progress, every time they stop us from doing things that America wants, they are hurting the country.
Senate Democratic Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada blames President Bush for his unwillingness to compromise.
President Bush reminds me of somebody who is a lawyer who would never negotiate anything. Nice guy, pleasant to visit with, but he was impossible to deal with on any case that he had. That's what we have with President Bush. He is impossible and has been for 7 years to deal with.
But President Bush and his Republican allies in Congress defend their strategy, saying they are stopping Democrats from legislating on matters that are not in Americans' best interest. Despite much partisan wrangling, lawmakers did manage to accomplish several modest achievements, including approving measures to improve homeland security, as recommended by the commission that investigated the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on the United States. In addition, Congress overrode a presidential veto on a bill to restore the hurricane-ravaged Gulf Coast and reformed congressional ethics and lobbying rules. Democrats were not as successful in overriding vetoes of popular legislation to deliver health care to children of low-income families and expand stem cell research to help cure diseases. But more importantly, Democrats failed to make good on key priorities, including reforming the nation's immigration system and setting a timetable for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. Democrats, who were elected to the majority in large part as a result of Americans' dissatisfaction with the course of the war, are especially disappointed that they were not able to push through a withdrawal timeline, despite dozens of attempts. They abandoned the effort in the waning weeks of the congressional session. One political analyst says the reason the Democrats had trouble making good on their vow to change the course of the war is in large part the influence the president wields, even as his second term in office winds down. Ross Baker is a political science professor at Rutgers University in New Jersey.
The inability of Congress to pass any kind of legislation limiting the American role in Iraq was a reflection of the fact that the president would veto anything that Congress passed that imposed any kind of limitation on him. And I think that the fact that the Democrats have now withdrawn all such efforts is an indication of the power of even a weakened president in his final year of office to play a very commanding role in what gets done on Capitol Hill.
Baker also says changing circumstances on the ground in Iraq played a role in the Democrats' inability to get a withdrawal timetable approved. He says President Bush's decision to increase the number of troops in Iraq helped tamp down violence, which in turn helped reduce the number of U.S. casualties.
As that number has gone down, I think the place of Iraq on the agenda of the American people has gone down, and a great deal of the anger and frustration has been dissipated. That could change. If things get worse, and they easily could, but certainly that's a major element in the inability of the Democrats to get the votes they need.
Members of the Democratic Party's liberal base are angry that their party's majority in Congress has not been able to set a timetable for withdrawal. Democratic leaders are vowing to try again next year. Senator Carl Levin is a Michigan Democrat and chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee.
The effort's not over. We may not be able to get the votes, but we're going to keep on trying. I think we're duty-bound to try to see if we can't get at least some kind of a timetable in place.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat of California, sought to accentuate the positive, suggesting that a timetable for a troop withdrawal from Iraq and other agenda items that did not pass this year could be approved if more Democrats are elected next year.
We signaled change, we made a difference, and now we're showing in order to get much more of this done, we can do some of it this year, but we need a Democratic president and we need stronger majorities in the House and Senate.
All 435 House seats and 35 of the 100 Senate seats will be on the ballot in November's elections. Deborah TVOA News, Capitol Hill.